It's the Darwin Memorial Edition of Radio Free Thinker. This week, we have an interview with Bill Liggerwood, an election reality check on corporate taxes, for real this time, research into MS treatment, and a response to our patented skeptical election questionnaire. Now, let's get started with episode 111.
And welcome to Radio Free Thinker, the radio show podcast that promotes skepticism and critical thinking, right here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Ethan, your free thinking historian.
And this is Don, your political science philosopher. So, you know, Ethan, you know, we call this the Darwin Memorial Edition. So why is it a memorial edition? What happened on this day?
Well, sadly for the realm of science, Charles Darwin passed away April 19th, 1882.
And as we all know,
foundational scientist of the theory of evolution.
And of course, shortly after his death, without this charismatic leader at its front, the theory of evolution disappeared in obscurity and it no longer exists?
Well, in some parts of the world, yes.
Yeah, well, that is actually sad. but, you know, it's bizarre, sorry. You know, there's another thing. We give our condolences to Darwin's family, who still some exist, actually.
Yes, many of them do.
And it's a noteworthy point in history. But another noteworthy point is we have an election coming up.
We do.
And for all those skeptics out there who may or may not know, you should register to vote. Make sure you're registered to vote. Go to elections.ca to see where your polling station is. I believe starting tomorrow, early voting can be done. Advanced polls will open up. It's better to be a little early than to be a little late. And it's an important thing to go out there and exercise your civic duty, but do so wisely. Later in the show, we're going to do a little bit about electioning. But I heard just recently in the news about one of the politicians, who will remain nameless, who is campaigning in Northern Ontario and on the issue of the long gun registry. Now, don't get me wrong. For those people who have long guns, I'm sure that's a very important issue. But if you're a single-issue voter, I don't know, that just strikes me as, you know, I'm willing to sacrifice everything else for this one particular issue doesn't strike me as a wise thing. And I think that's an important thing for skeptics to remember as well.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, we are asking politicians some skeptical questions. We blogged about that on radiofreethinker.com. And, you know, we're going to get some mixed answers. We're going to get things where we think, well, that's sort of what we believe, too. But then they're going to say something that we don't necessarily agree with. You got to pick and choose what your slam dunk issue.
And go over the whole entirety of it. But, you know, an important thing for skeptics is to get the message out there that, you know, one, we are strong, we are united, that there is an actual skeptical movement out there. Has there been anything movement in Canada to try and help promote this on some sort of moving material, maybe, or mass transit activity?
Perhaps, yes. You may have heard that the atheist bus ads, which we talked about previously in Kelowna, are also hitting Kamloops very soon. And we have an interview with Bill Liggerwood, who is the president of the Kamloops Rationalists, who's going to be telling us about the atheist ads, as well as the Imagine No Religion conference that's happening in Kamloops. Let's go to that right now here on Radio Free Thinker. Joining us once again is Bill Liggerwood, president of the Kamloops Center for Rational Thought. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Ethan. Pleasure to be here.
So since we last talked, things have certainly changed in Kamloops. One thing is the new atheist bus ads that are running. Tell us a bit about them.
Yes, things have definitely changed. Well, the ads actually started running yesterday, which was Wednesday the 13th. We've gotten quite a bit of media coverage out of it. Pretty much every media outlet in town, and I think around the province, has picked up on the story. So we're pretty happy about it. The ads look really great. The billboards on the buses, they're really big and they stand out, and you certainly can't miss them. There's been quite a bit of, I wouldn't say controversy, but there's been quite a bit of interest in whether there will be a controversy. And so far, there hasn't been any, what I would call, negative reaction, except for what you'd expect. You know, the usual letters to the editor and that kind of stuff. But in terms of me personally, and I'm around town quite a bit, all I've had is congratulations, right on, glad somebody finally did it, that kind of stuff. So that's actually been really encouraging.
And the slogan is, there's probably no God, now stop worrying and enjoy your life.
That's right. There's probably no God, now stop worrying and enjoy your life.
Why did you pick that slogan?
Well, I think because that's the one that's been used for this kind of thing throughout the world, and it seems to be quite effective. I also think it sends the correct message. A lot of people have asked me, why do you say probably? And I remember when the ads first came out in the UK, and I remember the press, and they were interviewing Richard Dawkins, and he was standing in front of one of the buses, and they said, you know, why probably? And he said, well, you know, you're right. It probably should have just said, there is no God. But then he said, but on the other hand, we're scientists, and so, you know, we're always open to new evidence. And at this point, there probably isn't, but if someone should show us some evidence to change our mind, we're willing to change our mind. As opposed to the other side, who are absolutely convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that there is a God.
And how long will the bus ads run?
They're going to run for a month, both here and in Kelowna.
And you mentioned a bit of the response that's already been generated by the media. What about from the average person in Kamloops? What do you sort of hope that they will do in response to the ads?
Well, I hope that people that might be on the fence in terms of where they're at with their own beliefs and their own worldview will, first of all, know that there's others out there. I think that's really important, because I think we can all say quite honestly that, you know, there was a time when we thought, you know, I don't know if there's anyone else out here. I don't really want to say that I'm an atheist because I might be the only one. And so I think it's really important for us to let others of like mind know that they're not the only one. In fact, they're not even close to the only one. There's a huge number of people out there that I would consider to be atheists, or certainly non-believers, skeptics, agnostics, whatever term you want to use. And so it's really important that they know they're not alone. So that's number one, I think. Number two is people that might be thinking about the whole thing. It gives them a sort of a, I guess, a kick in the butt and says, well, think about it, you know, here it is right in your face, so think about it. There's probably no God, now stop worrying and enjoy your life. Like, I'm hoping that someone might see that and just go, yeah, what am I worrying about? Like, this is so crazy, and start investigating and looking at a little bit of reality. So we're hoping there's a number of things we're hoping that we can accomplish, but I think the main one is like I said before, is letting other people of like mind know we're around, and letting everyone else know we're around, including the religious.
Excellent. The other big news is the Imagine No Religion conference, which is coming on May 7th. Where did the idea to host a conference come from?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. Well, it came out of my head. And I'm still not quite sure if I bit off more than I could chew at the time. But I'll just give you a bit of background. Like, my wife and I, on a whim, and this is when I really started getting involved, I guess, in being an activist. On a whim, 2 years ago, we decided to go to the AAI convention in Burbank. And really, we went because, you know, we liked Bill Maher, and Maher was there, and Dawkins was there, and it was a relatively inexpensive trip to get from here to Burbank, and it, you know, it was in October, and we thought, you know, what the hell, let's go down to Burbank for a weekend. If it sucks, there's probably going to be a pool or a beach somewhere, and or a bar, and we can just, you know, we won't worry about it. If it sucks, it sucks, and that's it. We had no idea what to expect. Well, I think to say that we were both blown away would be a, a gross understatement. I mean, we went with my brother as well. He decided to come along with us, and the three of us were just, I don't know, by the end of the second day, by the end of Saturday, I had a headache. I don't think I'd ever had to absorb so much unbelievably interesting information in 24 hours in my life. And I mean, we got to hear Lawrence Krauss do his Universe from Nothing talk, Richard, his greatest show on Earth talk. We got to hear Bill Maher. We got to hear P.Z. Myers. I mean, I can't even remember all the names, but it was just an amazing experience. And we came away from that just excited. I was excited. I was charged up. I was gung-ho. I was determined to get a group going here in Kamloops, because there wasn't anything at that time. And so when we came back, I basically put a classified ad in the paper saying, don't believe in God, you're not alone. And I got a few calls, and so we started this Center for Rational Thought a couple months after that. And I always remembered how excited I was at, and I'd never been to anything like that, like the conference or the convention, and I kept thinking, geez, that was, if I could just get people to go to something like that. And you know, and a lot of people are not crazy about the idea of jumping on a plane and, you know, flying across the continent to go to something like that, and paying for hotels and all the rest of it. So it just kind of sat there in the back of my mind. And then I started doing a column in the local newspaper. And one of the columns that I did was, the topic was Evolution is True. And basically it wasn't, I mean, you know, I'm not an evolutionary biologist by any stretch of the imagination. So I just basically wrote a column saying, you know, evolution is true, and if you don't believe it, well, you know, you better get your head out of your butt and look up the facts, because it's not a theory anymore, and it's true. And the reason that religious people are so afraid of it, and I think they are, is because if it is true, it basically disproves Genesis, and that puts the whole book into question. So I got an amazing negative reaction to that column, probably the most negative reaction I've ever had to a column. In the paper itself, mind you, not personally, but in the paper, I just got dozens of people just, I mean, coming at me with the most incredible vitriol about how it's just a theory, and what about this, and what about the flying, you know, mosquito bug, and what of all this other crap. And I sort of thought, wow, we got a real problem here in Kamloops. I don't know what, you know, I don't know what's going on in science class in school, but boy, they're sure not teaching evolution. So again, on a sort of a whim, I emailed P.Z. Myers, and I just said, you know, we got some serious problems in this town, and you know, help. Like, would you be willing to come here and do a talk on evolution? And much to my shock, he emailed me back within about 10 minutes and said, sure, he'd love to come. And that's really how it started. It started with him, and then I did the same thing with a couple of other people, and every one of them said, sure, we'd love to come. And when I said, well, we can't afford to pay you anything, they said, that's okay, we'd love to come. Just, you know, as long as you pay our expenses, we're happy with that. And that's how it happened. And it started out with P.Z. Myers coming here and talking to the creationists, and now it's a full one-day conference, and I'm really excited about it. We've got some great speakers, and I just can't wait.
Tell us about the speaker lineup. Who have you got, and how did you decide which speakers you wanted?
Well, that's a good question. The speakers are P.Z. Myers, and that's the obvious one. Also, Christopher DiCarlo. Now, Christopher DiCarlo came through here about a year and a half ago, and he did a talk in Kelowna, but he didn't come here. We went to the AI convention in Montreal last fall and saw him there, and I just spoke to him briefly there about possibly coming and doing a talk here. So I'd already made contact with him, and he jumped on board right away. The other one that I just thought, there's no way this is going to happen, but I emailed Brian Dalton, who is Mr. Deity. And again, he emailed back, and he said, well, send me the details and I'll see what I can do and, you know, how much you're going to pay and blah, blah, blah. And I sent him my usual pathetic email saying, well, we couldn't afford to pay him very much, maybe a round of golf and a few beers, but, you know, I think it would be really fun for him to come. And emailed back and said, sure, I'd love to come. Jen McCrate was recruited basically by the, and I should say this is a joint effort between us and CFI Okanagan. Jen McCrate was talking with CFI Okanagan about coming and doing a talk there at some point. So basically I just suggested, well, look, you know, I've got three, well, let's make it four and we'll make it a day and call it a conference. So that's how we got Jen McCrate. Nate Phelps, we were aware of Nate, and I thought, okay, he's in Calgary. That's not going to cost very much. He's probably willing to come. Again, he said yes right off the bat, no problem. And then Stuart Beckman, who's the former president of AAI, I had met in Montreal and got to be kind of friends with in Montreal. So I called him and asked him, and he said, sure, he'd love to come. And Justin Trottier, who you know quite well, who is the executive director of CFI, said he'd love to come as well. So those are the speakers. We have seven of them, and I'm really looking forward to it. PZ is also, as well as the keynote address on the Saturday night, he's also doing a public forum on the Friday night. And this will be open to the public, and this is where I hope we can get all these people that don't think evolution is true to come out and have an argument with him. He's looking forward to that too. So that's going to happen Friday night at 7 in the same hotel, and that's going to be an admission of $5. That's not included in the conference.
Speaking of the conference, how much is it to register, and are there spots still open?
Oh, yes, there are spots still open. It's $140 for the full day, and that includes lunch and dinner.
Excellent.
Yeah, so it's a good deal.
And what kind of talks are we going to see? Are we going to see a sort of a combination of skepticism and atheism, or talking about evolution? What would you hope to see?
Well, I think we'll get a good mix. Now, I don't have the topics right in front of me, but I think PZ will be obvious. He usually talks about what he calls sciencey stuff. Christopher DiCarlo, his topic is to do with the big five reasons for living, and I think he's going to talk about scientific reasons and pseudoscientific reasons for that. I believe that's what he's going to talk about. Mr. Deity, I'm not sure what Brian's going to talk about. He might just talk about Mr. Deity. But in Montreal, he talked about how the claims or the morality of religion isn't really all that moral, and he did a lot of citing of all kinds of nasty stuff in the Bible. Jen McCrate is going to talk about God's problem with ladies. I think it's called God's Lady Problem, Breaking Up with Supernatural Beings.
Excellent.
Nate Phelps' talk is entitled Escape from Westboro Baptist Church. So he's going to talk about what he went through living with his dad and how he got out of there. Stuart Beckman is going to talk about the Enlightenment and what went on in the Enlightenment and what the promise of the Enlightenment was and whether it's been fulfilled. And Justin, I believe, is going to talk about the state of free thought in Canada.
That's quite a lineup. What are you most excited to see?
I'm most excited to see you here, Ethan.
Ah.
No, I'm excited. I think I'm most excited to just be in the same room with all these people and with all the people that have registered. I just can't wait. I just can't wait for the event to happen. And there's no one in particular that I'm really crazy about seeing. I haven't seen Nate, and I hear that his talk is extremely emotional and really good. So I'm looking forward to that. But I'm looking forward to meeting all these incredible people that have registered. We've got a couple from Vancouver, quite a few from Kamloops, a few from Kelowna. We've got people from Saskatoon, Edmonton, Marysville, Washington, and if you can believe it, Las Vegas.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, as well as Smithers, someone today from Kitimat. So the province and the whole real Pacific Northwest is well represented. I just can't wait for this to happen, actually. I can't sleep.
Well, to close up the interview, Bill, if someone's listening and they want to register, how do they go about doing that?
Okay, they can go on the website. That's the easiest thing to do. And the website is very simply named Imagine No Religion Kamloops, all one word, .com. And there's registration buttons there. You can register through PayPal, or you can use Interact, or you can just send a check. Everything, the options are all there.
Excellent.
Oh, by the way, we have added an afternoon special option. It's more for people coming out of Kelowna, because it saves them having to book a hotel for the night. But it's everything from after lunch through to the end of the evening, and that's $100.
Oh, very good. Well, Bill,
I also mentioned, sorry, Ethan, there's one more thing. They're not speakers, but it's a local three women that do stand-up comedy, and they're closing things off after PZ's keynote talk. We'll be having comedy.
Oh, cool. Very good. Well, Bill, it sounds like you're doing a great job in Kamloops, and I'm looking forward to the conference.
And so am I, Ethan. I can't wait to buy you a beer.
Awesome.
Then there's the utter misery that is college radio, where they apparently just let any bewildered freshman wander into the booth and try to run a radio station. Campus Outreach is looking for... Hang on. College radio can pretty much be summed up in five words.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Become a friend of CITR and receive great discounts at businesses around Vancouver.
Your Friends of CITR card will get you discounts on Main Street at Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear,
Woo Vintage,
The Kiss Store, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, Red Cat Records, The Regional Assembly of Text, RX Comics, Temple of the Modern Girl,
Flaming Angels Boutique,
and The Wallflower Modern Diner.
Pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus, or visit us online at citr.ca.
Welcome back to Radio Freethinker. So our thanks to Bill for that interview.
It was quite nice.
Yes. So, Don, tell us about a new controversial medical treatment.
It's actually, the controversy's been going on for a while. Vein blocking doubt. Now, there's been a paper published in the Journal of Neurology by Dr. Robert someone who has a horribly bad name to pronounce. About a condition known as chronic cerebrospinal venous insufficiency, or CZVI, which is very common in patients with multiple sclerosis. The findings cast doubt on the theory that the blocking or narrowing of veins is the main cause. Dr. Robert Z says the findings indicate that CCSVI does not have a primary role in causing MS. Now, Dr. Robert Z worked with another guy named Zamboni, which is not related to the machines used to clean ice on hockey games. Zamboni is a controversial doctor who has been offering surgery that he claims to cure or at least delay MS symptoms by essentially something called angioplasty, but to the neck veins. So he puts in a little balloon into the arteries of the neck, inflates them to sort of stretch them out and allow a greater flow of blood. Now, of course, there are some ethical issues involved in this. Again, he's claiming it cures, and as the study will point out, that's rather dubious. Two, there is a number of risks involved in such a invasive procedure, which has risks. And two, he's doing this for profit, which leads to another sort of bigger controversy in the Canadian context, is that there's been a lot of debate about should it be covered by Canadian healthcare plan. And because it's considered still an experimental treatment, it's not covered, and this has created a lot of issues over this. The study itself involved 399 people where they used Doppler ultrasound to actually detect the amount of flow going through the veins. 289 had MS, 63 were healthy controls, 26 had Parkinson's disease, and 21 had something called clinically isolated syndrome, which can be a precursor to MS. The team found that 50% of the people in the MS group suffered from CCVI, as did 23% of the healthy controls, and 46% of the people with other neurological diseases. So there is a slight correlation with at least neurological disease and this particular condition. More prominently, this particular condition among people who have what's called a progressive form of MS was 89% of cases, compared to those who have what's called a relapse form, which was 49%. Dr. Roberts Fox of the Cleveland Clinic Foundation in Cleveland, who wrote an editorial accompanying this study, says an increased prevalence in the progressive form of this as compared to the relapse form leaves open the possibility that CCVI may be playing a contributory role or is a consequence of the disease. Then again, it may just be related to aging patients. The study is similar to other smaller findings in international studies that, again, has found no causal link, although there does appear to be a strong correlation. Neurologist Dr. Jock Murray in Halifax put it this way. He says that, I think, again, that people should be hesitant about going off to other countries paying large amounts of money for something that has yet to be clearly shown as beneficial. There are studies going on in both Manitoba and Saskatchewan to actually test the clinical viability of this, and Newfoundland is monitoring the patients who go out there. In the particular article that I was reading, the main source of evidence to support that this actually does anything is literally anecdotal. The one quote they had was from someone who was suffering from MS and had no other technical qualification than others, and he says, I don't care what the studies say. I've talked to a number of my friends who've had this, and they say it works. And, I mean, that's classic, but leading even more into this is the benefits that this particular surgery is supposed to have is people feel less tired. They're supposed to suffer from dizziness less and have a bit less tingling in their fingers and all that, right? And these are very subjective calls and very hard to quantify, you know, these particular things to see, well, is this a real effect of the surgery or is this more of a placebo effect, and to what degree of benefit are we really getting? So it's one of those things that, I mean, there does seem to be some form of correlation between the narrowing of the veins and MS. But one, you know, it's not sure as to which came first. And two, the other bigger issue is, you know, does this actually do any benefit relative to the risk that it imposes on the patient? Again, it's one of the interesting side effects of having a socialized health medicine, that experimental treatments can involve all of us and not just be an ethical quandary for those who may be victimized by people who claim more than they should.
Right. I think part of the problem, too, is that most of us would love to have a cure for MS out there, but we can't let our enthusiasm overtake our skeptical sense, right?
And, you know, again, my heart goes out to people who suffer from MS because, I mean, for them, you know, they're facing a wall and any hope seems to be beneficial. But again, you know, to a degree, you have to be very careful that some people aren't allowed to manipulate this desperateness that's in there. And I don't know. It's a very interesting issue, I think.
Definitely. And speaking of interesting issues.
Yes. We've been meaning to have this on last week, and we somehow missed it. We have another election reality check. This one about corporate tax rates. It's become an issue that all the parties have been throwing on. I thought I'd do a little research into it. Because we have our questionnaire, I might go a little faster than this. And for those economists / socialists / conservatives out there who may disagree with some of the numbers I point out, I please welcome your comments and your corrections onto it. I don't actually believe in the science of economics, so I do most of this with a bit of dubiousness. So if you want to correct or comment on anything we say, please email us at radio.freethinker@gmail.com. So Historically, 1960s, the corporate tax rate during the heyday of industrial expansion and economic development in Canada, we had a federal corporate tax rate of 40%. That fell to 28% by 1990. Under the Liberal government in the early part of this millennium, the rate went from 28% to 21%. The Conservatives, when they took power in 2007, pledged to cut the rate from 21% to 15% by 2012. Currently, we have a federal corporate tax rate of 16.5%. Now, that compared to other countries, if the rate goes to 15% of the Conservatives want it, it will give us the lowest statutory rate in all the G7 countries. Comparing our corporate tax rate to other G20 countries, our corporate tax rate is a little harder to calculate because the base rate, which is the federal rate, is 16.5%. But in order to get a true corporate tax rate, you need to also add on the provincial tax rates, which can range anywhere from 2 to 16%, depending on where they fall in that. But it comes out to be roughly an average of 32.5% tax rate as rated by the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives. Now, of course, other groups will have a slightly different number, but we'll use that as a benchmark. Now, Australia has a flat tax rate of 30%, Brazil 34%, the US 40%, which kind of surprised me, France 33%, Germany 29.8%, Japan 40.7%. Now, as I mentioned before, the Americans have a 40% tax rate, and that kind of points to the thing that actually one of the biggest issues involved here isn't so much what the statutory tax rate is, but what the effective tax rate is. That is the actual amount they pay in actual dollars and cents. That can be a huge difference here. The rate of tax varies depending on the type of deductions you get to have. For example, in BC, a large number of businesses actually get taxed at 4.5% because of these tax credits, even though the technical amount is 12%. So, again, this adjusting for these sort of tax write-offs, our actual effective tax rate works out to be roughly 19%. In fact, I even did a little bit more research into the StatsCan. As I say, those other numbers were based on the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives. I went to StatsCan website and I looked actually at some tax information from 2005. And actually, I calculated close to 10%. And again, I'm hoping someone will correct my math on this. But it was also interesting that I noted that corporations accounted for 73.3% of the recorded tax income to Revenue Canada, whereas personal income accounted for only 26.7% of the actual money out there. Yet, when it actually came to the amount of paying taxes, corporations only accounted for 24% of tax revenue versus individuals who accounted for 76% of tax revenue. And that's income tax, not including GST or any of the other taxes out there. Now, of course, there is an implicit understanding with any of these corporate tax rates is the idea of trickle-down economics. That is, for example, if you give the moneyed classes, i.e. the corporations in this case, you allow them to keep their money, they will invest in the economy, creating more jobs, and in a way more taxable income, even though it's at a lower rate, and will actually create more money than we would have if we just raised the taxes. In Canada, though, this hasn't quite seemed to have worked out the way you'd think. In Canada, the majority of corporate profits have increased by over 50% from the period 2000-2009, yet their tax bills only increased by 20%. And again, this is raw numbers. For the same period, the median individual profit, i.e. the average person who's created, has only been 22%, while their tax rate has increased by 28%. And actually, if you factor in inflation, the corporate profits have increased quite a bit, but the percentage of increase for individuals, including tax, has almost been zero if you average about 2% per year. So, on the other front, we have promises of job increases has been rather anemic. Comparing 2005 to 2010, in the standard economy, job growth rate was only about 6%, whereas those companies that benefited most from tax benefits, tax write-offs, etc., have only been about 4.5%, and a significant number of those jobs have actually been out of country. Okay, so that's the boring background sort of thing. So now the Conservatives have been stating that they plan to proceed with their plan to reduce the corporate tax rate to 15% to both stimulate jobs and keep Canada competitive in the world economy. Now, those claims in themselves, I think we've already talked about, and they don't really stand up to a reality check. But what about the other ones? So both the Liberals and the NDP state that they would raise the tax to 18%, which is what it was, I believe, before the Harper government took office, and that this will help pay for a lot of their programs, because they keep saying, well, if we raise the corporate tax rate, we won't have to raise individual tax rates. Now, some have argued that the cost of the new taxes on corporations will be just passed off to consumers, which is a very valid argument. However, if you truly believe in capitalism, which again, I confess I don't, and acknowledge that there has been a remarkable increase in corporate profitability over the past decade or two, then the supposed laws of competition should force companies to take those excess profits to pay for the tax increase or be removed from the market. It's classic competition between the things. So again, I think that part of particular argument doesn't quite hold water. However, traditional economists believe that due to the availability of capital to easily move offshore to tax havens, that the net return on the increase of a higher tax rate would actually be significantly lower. The CBC reported that the Liberals claim to expect an increase of about $3 billion increase by raising the taxes to 18%. However, if you factor in this idea of capital flow to other countries and hiding their income offshore, that the result will actually only be about $1 billion. Now, of course, because we do have, you know, a very open global economy, I think this is probably one of the ones that actually sticks the most, that until we're willing to sit there and sort of slow capital movement across borders, right, not stop it, but slow it, that if we do just raise the corporate tax rate willy-nilly, that there will be a flight of capital to Bermuda or Liechtenstein or some of the other places where corporations tend to hide. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, that being said, the idea that raising the corporate tax rate will A, solve all our problems, or B, lowering the corporate tax rate will solve all our problems, both of them seem to be both epic fails, and that we just need to be skeptical about whatever politicians say.
That is good advice. Let's go to a commercial break, and we'll be back with more being skeptical of what politicians say.
The third annual Dancing Bear Music Festival is taking place Saturday, April 30th at Quest University in Squamish. Nonprofit and organized completely by students, this year's lineup features John and Roy, Brastronaut, Topless Gay Love Techno Party, Humans, and more. Local vendors, a children's area, and tie-dyeing promises fun for the whole family. Tickets are $15 for students, $20 general admission, and $25 at the door. Tickets are available at Zulu Records and High Life Records. To check out other ticket locations or to purchase tickets online, find Dancing Bear Music Festival on Facebook or visit dancingbearmusicfestival.com.
The state of hip-hop right now, man, as far as the way I see it, I think right now hip-hop is advancing as far as skills. You got brothers, you know what I'm saying, getting like more witty.
There ain't nobody to be pretty for. Let it rattle, let the clatter kill him, let the cataclysm wash. Who really listens? Precision with a verse draws a cry. Draw a line between an easy melody and peace of mind.
You got DJs doing all kind of crazy shit on the turntables. I like where it's going, and I like, you know what I'm saying, the creative process that brothers is trying to take it to right now.
Rally Rails and Brendan Butter in the place to be. Crimes and Treasons Radio, 101.9 FM, Vancouver, CITR.ca, every Tuesday, 9 till 11.
Dynamite!
Welcome back to Radio Free Thinker. So we're talking about questions for politicians, because we here at Radio Free Thinker sent out 10 questions of a skeptical atheist nature to our local candidates in the upcoming federal election.
From our patented skeptical election questionnaire.
Yeah, we will let people use the patent, though. We're not going to hog that. So we decided to go with 10 questions. We could have asked a ton, but we figured 10 is easy, small. Even a busy politician can take a few seconds to answer 10 questions, right?
So you'd think.
So we picked basically two questions from each of the main sort of battlegrounds of skepticism. Two questions on religion, two on alternative medicine, two on the supernatural, two on science, and two on evolution. The questions go as follows. Canada is a Christian nation. Religious belief should be legally protected from ridicule. Complementary and alternative medicines such as naturopathy, chiropractic medicine, herbalism, biofeedback, hypnosis, homeopathy, and/or acupuncture should be given equal support in our public health system. Childhood vaccinations should be mandatory. Law enforcement should be barred from employing psychics in investigations. The evidence for alien visitation is overwhelmingly positive. Science is just one way of knowing. Scientists who work for the government should not be curtailed or censored in any way if they want to take their findings to the media or wish to publish their findings in scientific journals or periodicals. Human beings have evolved over time in a random process absent any control or design by a higher power. And finally, the age of the Earth is around 4 billion years old. Now, we asked candidates to answer based on a 5-point scale from strongly disagree with a 1 to strongly agree with a 5. We sent the questions to all the candidates in the 5 federal ridings of Vancouver, including Vancouver Centre, Vancouver East, Vancouver Kingsway, Vancouver Quadra, and Vancouver South. That's a total of 29 candidates who got the messages. We also sent the messages to the party headquarters as well, in case they're too busy. So far, only 2 have responded.
And those 2 are, just to give you a bit, a Douglas Roy of the Green Party in Vancouver East. Now, just to give you a bit of a background, Roy is a teacher, well, has been a teacher, principal. He specializes in Aboriginal studies. He's worked in China and has been on the program coordinator for Vancouver Community College. In his particular district, Vancouver East, in 2008, the Green Party got 11.3% of the vote. Of course, this is Libby Davies' constituency, and she actually won quite handily with 54.4%. The other person who responded was Laura Lee Shaw, also of the Green Party for Vancouver Quadra. She is a realtor. In 2008, the Green Party got 8.83%, and Liberals had won that particular riding with 45.6%. But notably, the Green Party came in 3rd over the NDP.
And I do want to say, you know, we really do appreciate these two politicians answering these questions. You know, we're not trying to get material to make fun of them. We actually want to hear what they have to say and would be happy if, you know, they're listening or if they want to expand on what they said, please contact us and we're happy to hear them out.
Again, props up to them. And I would extend that if any of the politicians running in the election campaign want to come onto our show even and express their particular views of skepticism and the like, you're more than welcome. Just contact us at radio.freethinker@gmail.com and we will gladly arrange for such an event.
So let's look at what they had to say. So let's start with Douglas Roy. For the first question, Canada is a Christian nation. Roy strongly disagrees. For question 2, religious belief should be legally protected from ridicule. He also strongly disagrees. On 3, complementary and alternative medicine, having equal support in our healthcare system, he strongly agrees that it should.
Actually, maybe we should do these side by side.
Sure, why not?
Well, because I think their answers sometimes are quite interesting. Because as far as Canada's a Christian nation, Roy strongly disagreed, but Shaw, Laura Shaw, she was quite neutral on that. What do you think that means in the response?
Well, you know, it seems to me that Roy is far more secular of the two, based on his other answers.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think one of the things we were talking about before on the show is that to some degree, you know, you are a politician and you have to be a little careful as to what you say with regards to these. If you say you strongly disagree, and again, you know, that's a very honest and very good answer, you may risk turning off Christian voters who may see you as someone that they can't relate to or whatever. So that I thought was a slightly interesting nuance with regards to that question.
Bagami was Shaw's answer to question two. She strongly agrees that religious belief should be legally protected from ridicule.
And when you compare that to Roy's answer, who strongly disagreed with that, again, he's very consistent, but you're beginning to see that there's a certain pattern with Shaw where one guy seems to be, Roy seems to be somewhat secular, perhaps an atheist, and Lee seems to be showing at least a proclivity to side with the religious groups.
Right. In terms of Shaw and Roy on the same page, they were when it came to alternative medicine. Both strongly agree that alternative medicine should be given equal support in our public healthcare system. Now, I'm not trying to be, you know, a smart ass, but is that a surprise coming from the Green Party?
Yeah, no, I guess not. I mean, because part of the whole idea is that the Green Party is supposed to be an alternative, you know, I mean, some people refer to the Greens unfairly, perhaps, as sort of a hippie party, right? And I think part of what they're trying to do is they're trying to set a space separate from the other parties. And this is one of the, you know, as well as alternative fuel, you know, alternative economies, alternative medicine seems to follow through. And I'm curious to know whether their belief in this particular stance is so much because they understand the issue at hand or whether they just think that they like the idea of something alternative to the quote-unquote corporate machine that's out there.
Absolutely. And ditto for question four, childhood vaccination should be mandatory. Both strongly disagree with that statement. Again, they could be trying to appeal to their base. Perhaps they're simply uneducated on the recent outbreaks of whooping cough and measles, especially in the BC interior, where this is a serious problem. Either way, though, I think that's actually a pretty good demonstration of their, you know, I think, lack of knowledge of public health care.
Yeah, no, because one of the things we were talking about before the show is whether, you know, this idea of being against mandatory vaccinations, maybe it was more of a libertarian free right sort of thing, right? But in which case, you think instead of strongly disagree, they would just be I disagree with or whatever. But you couple that with the idea of complementary medicine and alternative medicine. Again, I think you're right. I think they're showing a definite weak point when it comes to the idea of human health and being skeptical about medical claims, which points out to, with Roy in particular, how you can sort of be a very good skeptic in one area, but not necessarily a good skeptic in every area.
Absolutely. Moving on to sort of the sciencey questions here. Roy gave no answer to law enforcement should be barred from employing psychics in investigations, whereas Shaw was neutral on the topic.
Yeah, that was neutral. It struck me as quite bizarre. Roy, on the other hand, may be employed as a psychic and felt he shouldn't answer the question because of conflict of interest.
Well, he would have known before going into the questions about that one. But, you know, this is an important issue for me in the very least because I have heard of psychics getting employed by law enforcement, usually at a terrible cost, both in time, resources, and energy. And, you know, we've had some pretty high-profile missing person cases in BC. I mean, the whole Picton murders. I don't want to see law enforcement getting sucked into woo the same way the military got sucked into those bogus bomb detectors.
What bogus bomb? Just to remind our audience, wasn't it a box with a picture of a bomb inside that was supposed to homeopathically sort of detect?
Well, that might have been one thing. They were using dousing rods at one point to try to determine if something had a bomb on it. Disastrous results, as anyone can imagine. Another question here. The evidence for alien visitation is overwhelmingly positive. Roy agrees, not strongly, but, you know, agrees, whereas Shaw is also neutral on this.
So is this perhaps a case where Shaw is sort of showing the idea of true skepticism, as in, well, we don't really know whether there has been, so I don't want to say positively or not, or are you more worried about the actual wording of it when it says overwhelmingly positive? That strikes me as not being very neutral in its statement.
Yeah, that's true. And because the reason I said that is because a lot of UFO proponents look at a mountain of anecdotal evidence and think that adds up to a really strong case. But a mountain of anecdotes is still anecdotes. It's not real science. So I was a little concerned about that one. Question seven, science is just another way of knowing. Well, that's kind of a gotcha question on my part. Skeptics know that the only people who say this sort of thing are like the Deepak Chopras of the world and stuff. Roy was neutral on this one. Shaw strongly agrees that science is just one way of knowing.
And I'm going to point out here, now, we're doing maybe some not great science here, but we're seeing a slight pattern, I think, because she's also the one who strongly believes that religion should be protected, right? And I don't know, I'm beginning to think that maybe her other way of knowing is perhaps more of a spiritual of nature.
It's entirely possible.
Which doesn't mean she would be a horrible politician or a horrible representative, but, you know, it's good to know where she stands on issues. I just hope she's honest about her particular stance.
Yeah. Like we said, you're never going to find a perfect candidate. You have to pick someone who you think you should vote for based on a whole lot of issues. Sometimes you're going to have to compromise. Sometimes you're going to have to let things go. You know, you just got to really sort of think it over. Moving on to scientists who work for the government should not be curtailed or censured in any way for taking their findings to the media. This, of course, relates back to the story a little while ago about the Harper government sort of clamping down on government scientists. Both strongly agree that scientists must have their right to go to the public. Yes, yes. The only person I could possibly see not strongly agreeing to that is a Conservative Party member.
Yeah.
Let's see. Moving on to, human beings have evolved over time in a random process absent control or designed by a higher power. Roy strongly agrees. Shaw, no answer.
Ooh.
Now, question, why would you not answer this?
Well, actually, before we get to that one, I think because it's uniquely related. What was the last question in our,
right,
in our survey?
The last question, the age of the Earth is around 4 billion years. Roy strongly agrees. Shaw, no answer.
Now, before we jump into our conspiracy, it is conceivable that she just ran out of time.
Yeah.
And she didn't answer them.
Sure.
They are the last two questions, and that is a confounding factor to this. But I do think, based upon the earlier answers, that she may be religiously bent. And again, I don't think that in and of itself would rule her out. But I do find a very interesting difference between Shaw and Roy, in that Roy seems to be coming out as at least an agnostic, if not an atheist, and he's willing to say so. By not answering the particular questions that she has, I'm beginning to wonder whether she's not quite honest or upfront about her own particular views.
Sure. I mean, like, I can imagine many politicians won't answer certain questions because they're concerned that it's going to jeopardize their chance of getting elected. Now, in a place like Vancouver, it's a fairly liberal city, and I would imagine that evolution is pretty well accepted. So if you're, you know, a creationist, or perhaps even not even a creationist, you just don't believe in evolution, you might be hesitant to put that information out there. Now, at the same time, though, you know, we didn't ask these questions so that, you know, we wanted to get everyone saying strongly agree or strongly disagree. We kind of threw in a mix. I'm surprised that she wouldn't have at least answered and said either neutral, because, I mean, to me, that's like saying, well, look, whether I believe in evolution or not is not relevant to my job as a politician. I can respect that. It's not like she's the science minister.
Right.
You might want to say, okay, well, she's obviously a creationist. No, we can't really say that. We can say that it is, I think, telling that she wouldn't answer those questions, though.
And again, because this goes back to an issue that, irrespective of skepticism, is kind of at the heart of the malaise in politics right now, is that people just don't trust politicians. We don't believe them anymore. That we think when we vote, it doesn't actually make a difference. And I think the contrast between these two particular candidates, who ironically enough are for the same party, right, but candidates matter because you're not voting for May, you're not voting for Layton, you're not voting for Ignatieff, you're not voting for Harper. You're voting for your local candidate, and to actually have a good understanding as to what they believe, how honest they are about it, you know, it's important. And I think, judging from the two responses we have, Roy seems to be a much more upfront and honest person in his own belief, and much more someone who's willing to represent the people, as opposed to hiding behind, well, I don't really want you to know where I stand, just vote green.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I mean, you know, we did send this out to all of the candidates, all 29 of them. We haven't heard back from any of them yet, except for Roy and Shaw. So if you're listening, other candidates, please answer our questions. We do honestly want to get your opinion. And like we said, we will follow up with this if anyone desires to. We are open to that idea.
And if you don't, we might just have to make one up and do a satirical commentary on you.
Mm-hmm. So remember, citizens of Vancouver Centre, Vancouver East, Vancouver Kingsway, Vancouver Quadra, and Vancouver South, if you have the ear of the candidate, I would recommend you tell them, hey, those Radio Free Thinker guys, they're pretty cool. Answer their questions.
You should. And not only that, you know, you will get free publicity, free press. I mean, here are two particular candidates, you know, Roy Douglas in Vancouver East, who's getting a lot of publicity for the Green Party in that particular riding. Sorry, Shaw, I can't quite bring myself to promote you, but at least your name was mentioned a few times.
Sure, why not? And, you know, they took time out of their schedule to talk, to answer our questions, and that's appreciated, definitely.
Very much so.
Yes. Well, we're running out of time here on Radio Free Thinker. Let's go to our skeptical highlights. Don?
Yes, I have, again, to help promote the Green Party or any other party to respond to us and to get their message out there. This is an event sponsored by the Burnaby Greens. They are presenting a viewing of Gasland, which you know I mentioned in a few episodes ago with regards to fracking. Their blurb is, the Halliburton-developed drilling technology of fracking or hydraulic fracturing has unlocked a, quote, Saudi Arabia of natural gas just beneath us. But is fracking safe? When American filmmaker Josh Fox is asked to lease his land for drilling, he embarks on a cross-country odyssey to uncover a trail of secrets, lies, and contamination. Note, this is not an unbiased movie. It is promoting a particular point of view, so go with it armed with skepticism, but it is a very interesting movie to see. It's being shown at the Willow Room in the Cameron Recreation Complex, 9523 Cameron Street, Burnaby, Thursday the 21st at 7 p.m. Ethan.
Yes.
Highlights.
Well, we mentioned in the interview with...
Too late, Bill, we're out of time.
The Imagine No Religion Conference is coming up on May 7th in Kamloops. Register at imaginenoreligionkamloops.com. Very easy to remember. And, of course, PZ Myers is going to be giving a talk the night before on May 6th. As a prelude to the conference, I suggest you head down there for the weekend and enjoy the interior of BC.
Yes, it's Canada's religious Bible Belt, or at least BC's Bible Belt. So, I'm sure the locals will appreciate any skeptical or atheist support that you can bring out to this.
Of course, we're on the air in Kamloops, are we not?
We are. We are.
That's right. Well, this is Ethan, your free-thinking historian, saying thanks for listening.
This is Don saying eyes open, minds on. And don't forget to register to vote.
So long, folks.
Well, how best to explain it? You've seen me in X-Men.
Yeah.
The character.